Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, I believe this is episode 224. I should know that because I just wrote it down, but I've already forgotten.
That's all right. We'll go with it.
Yay.
Sounds good to me.
We're feeling slightly under the weather separately.
Yep.
You never know. We may have the same thing, but it's not the pandemic thing, which is good.
No, we've both got that negative, but we're positive about doing a show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have, because of the fact that, you know, I've been feeling under the weather, I've been watching a bit of stuff. So I got some cool stuff to talk about. A lot of great news. And you've got some very exciting, I was going to say personal news, but it's like you bought something.
It's not personal news.
You bought something.
Yeah. And there's a game that came out that I'm real stoked for, and it ticks all the boxes. I haven't opened it yet. I literally bought it before we recorded, but...
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by Tense Cat Standoffs. They can either end in a screaming match, an actual fight, or both parties falling asleep. Such drama! The annual Manicure for Dogs Expo is kicking off today, and pooches and humans are beyond excited. Always a highlight on the social calendar with fashion shows, new nail polish demonstrations, free massage chairs, competitions, the Watchersville Husky Choir will be performing, and the local Girl Scouts will have set up an amazing cake stall with many delicious treats to tantalise the taste buds of all who attend. The usual crowd of cat protesters have been sitting on top of the fences surrounding the convention centre, looking generally unimpressed. Despite their best efforts, there's still not a kitty manicure expo. Here's hoping for next year, felines. Your presence really brings the vibe down. The local division of the John Cleese Fan Club will be rehearsing in the park around the gazebo in preparation for the Ministry of Silly Walks Day later in the month. So if you see a bunch of people all doing the iconic ridiculous walk, they request that you please avoid the temptation to join in. This is a private group who have not allowed any new members in for the last 17 years. They've promised to maybe think about allowing new people to join in a few years, maybe. So in the meantime, back off and stay away. Stuart Candor has hit the big time. His TV sitcom script has been picked up by one of our major local studios. He now has the daunting job of writing 17 episodes in the next 2 weeks before they start filming. Casting is underway, so if you're keen to get into acting, now's the time. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I got Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga.
And this one seems like a pretty big, I know they call it saga, but it sounds like it's pretty big in that you play through every movie with a Skywalker
in it,
right?
All nine films.
Yeah.
All nine films. Each film has five dedicated levels. And when I say levels, it's hub levels and stuff. So there's a whole lot of content. I think it comes with something like 276 characters in the game, and then there's going to be DLC for 2 years. There'll be Mandalorian packs and Clone Wars packs and all this other content to come down the track. I love the Lego games, kind of no matter what one they put out. Who are the guys that do it again? TT Games. They've been doing Lego games for 20 years or something like that. And the Harry Potter one's awesome. I go back and, you know, I replayed that twice the whole way through after the remaster came out and stuff. So anyway, they haven't put out a game in 4 years, something like this.
Gee, okay. I didn't realize it was so long.
This one had been delayed and delayed and pushed back and things like almost 2 years.
Wow.
So it's big.
Do you reckon you've played most of the Lego games?
I'd say probably half of them, just because there was a point where they were putting out two or three a year.
Mm.
You know, I would go as far as Lego Ninjago games and things like that, but I didn't grab all of them because it was just too many.
Yeah, fair enough.
But the Jurassic World one was fantastic. Harry Potter was great. The Indiana Jones was awesome.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
So this one, I just saw a little news story about it. Just a really quick thing. Mm-hmm. That Mark Hamill has been alerted to the fact that in Star Wars, what's it called? Star Wars, the Skywalker
Saga? The Skywalker Saga.
Yeah, right. So they actually do a little point and a nod to a meme that has been around for years and years and years of Mark Hamill, aka Luke Skywalker, looking directly into the lightsaber. So, like, if he accidentally turned it on, he would have lightsabered his head off.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, he didn't put that in there because he hates that meme because he always says that he has absolutely no recollection of him ever doing that. And he suspects when that photo was taken, it was just like between takes or something. He was just having a look at what it was. But it pops up all the time. And I think it's really funny that they've actually included that into the Skywalker Saga game.
Look, so you're going to have a look for it. This is what I love about these games. They are silly and their whole point is to have fun. And so there's jokes throughout. And I mean, so you can, they've got voice actors and I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's a bit of a mix of some lines from the film with re-recorded and then plenty of other lines, but you can also play the game old school Lego style where it removes all the voices and they talk gibberish
that's cool.
And that sort of stuff. And because the animation is so big, it carries the jokes.
Yeah, right.
Time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's
so which way
so
are you
going to
watch
jokes.
It? How are you going to do it? Are you going to do the Lego gibberish? Or are you going to...
No.
Yeah.
Lines, first time lines for sure. Yeah. So I get the full story experience and stuff. And then if I go back and play through again, maybe.
then a maybe. That sounds cool. And I think that's going to be a very popular game just because it sounds like there's so much involved in it. Like you really get your money's worth.
I've got the PS5 version and looking on the back, it says 45 gigabyte minimum.
Okay. So yeah, that's hefty.
It's a big game. It looks so sexy.
Look, speaking of games that you can be really excited about, Crystal Dynamics, who have been the people who have made the last three Tomb Raiders, I think. I get a bit confused because it, anyway, they made the last three and they've announced a new Tomb Raider game using the Unreal Engine 5, which is very exciting. Right. But then I started to worry about exclusives and who owns Crystal Dynamics. You know how it felt like for the last 6 months or probably more, we've heard, Xbox has bought this company, Sony's bought this one. This now belongs to Epic, you know, and you're like, well, can I play this game? I couldn't find anything. I mean, of my whole 5 minute research, couldn't find anything except for people worrying that maybe it's an Epic exclusive because they're using Unreal Engine 5, but a lot of games use Unreal Engine. So
yeah,
I'm hoping that
I'm sure that you license the engine.
Yeah, right.
The developers would license the engine.
Makes sense.
Use. Yeah, so it's, they wouldn't be giving over the rights for the game and stuff. But, yeah, that's murky.
It's so murky and so confusing. I just hope that by the time it comes out, at least Leah has access to wherever it is because I love those Tomb Raider games. I've played almost every single one. We used to play the original couple back in the day and, they were so hard, but we loved them.
Do you remember when I went to Hong Kong for the Tomb Raider Xbox launch?
That can you please retell that story?
I got stitched up by a boss at the place I was working at the time to go to Hong Kong last minute notice to work on a project that I hadn't had any involvement with, which was launching the new Tomb Raider. You could help me with the title of this one. It was 2014 or 15.
It might have been Rise of the Tomb Raider, maybe, or at least it was that first one. The last one was Shadow.
One,
And wasn't that? I know you'd
wasn't
already.
Shadow.
Yeah, might have been Rise.
So it was the one with the pickaxe was a big deal in all the promotion and stuff like that. Anyway, so we went to Hong Kong, me and JV, my fellow teammate there, and oh man, we went to the tallest tower in Macau, and she bungee jumped off the side. Oh, not bungee, like what? Abseiled down the side of this thing, dressed in cosplay as Lara Croft.
Now, am I right? I mean, I think you told me this, but she is the so she was like the person that they based the new Lara.
She's the mocap artist.
The mocap, yeah, that's
yeah. So she was the mocap artist, but also like the features and everything like that is transplanted onto the character.
So cool.
And yeah, she was awesome. So we she had to do that like twice. Could go down. It's a lot. I didn't do it. It was enough to go and stand on the ledge. I hated it. I hated that. And then there was this live event where people could like tweet support of the game and stuff, and each time that there was a certain amount of tweets hit, the pickaxe was used to chip away at this ice block that had prizes in it. So, I don't know, it was really convoluted. As I said, I wasn't involved with any of the lead up to it.
You were just
I kind of showed up and went like, wait, what's happening? Okay, cool, let's do this. And went with the flow. But yeah, it was a whirlwind thing of Tomb Raider. I didn't even have a copy of the game.
You didn't get a copy of it? That's so unfair.
Yeah.
I think they should use the same actress as the mocap artist. Did they use her voice as well? Because I assume they would have, because she was English, right? Sometimes they change it, don't they? They change, yeah.
I don't think she was the vocal actress. Mm-hmm. She wasn't an actress. She was a cosplayer.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
It was very, you know, she was happy to do live events and that sort of stuff and pretend to be Lara, but she didn't purport to be Lara.
I mean, that's what they do. Ooh, very good. That's what they do in other games. Like, I remember seeing, I haven't played it. I still haven't played it, but The Last of Us 2? No, what is it? Anyway, the second Last of Us, and they would use, like, the main actress, they used her likeness, but they changed it a little bit. But the there are a couple of other actresses in that game where they had the voice artist, and they mo-capped the voice artist, but they had a different actress who they took the likeness from, and I thought that was really super confusing, but apparently it's a thing that they do in games. I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I saw that coming to Amazon, it's very early days, but this sounds pretty good. Eddie Murphy is making his passion pick, which is a biography about George Clinton.
The funk guy, the master of P-funk. He has amazing dreadlocks.
Yeah,
often multicolored.
He's Ezekiel from Walking Dead is based on him.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Except Ezekiel has, well, at least within the show, has calmed down his theatrical nature. But would Eddie be wanting to play?
Oh yeah,
him? That's he definitely plan. Is. Okay.
Yes, but I think it's going to be at different points of his life, so there may be some other younger actors playing the role as well, or something. Very early days, but apparently this is something he's been wanting to make for some time. And I am pretty down, and I don't know who they're going to get to play Bootsy Collins, but just the fact that there's going to be a movie where Bootsy Collins gets some love is great.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do de-aging. It seems to be a big thing, you know, like de-age everything. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they get into. But
is Eddie Murphy. He loves getting in prosthetics, loves putting on a fat suit.
Young myself, please. That's what he'll say. Young myself. So this sounds like it's early days, but we could get excited about it at least.
Yeah.
I found something that we could get excited about and is very, very early, but it certainly leads to having Robert Downey Jr. playing Sherlock Holmes again.
Okay.
I remember watching those movies and enjoying myself watching them. I don't remember them, but I remember that they were enjoyable films, and I would be quite happy for HBO, which is the place where two different scripted series are in early development involving Sherlock Holmes and involving Robert Downey Jr. because his production company is behind it. So he was it Guy Ritchie who did the Sherlock Holmes movie? So I wonder if they're going to get him on board.
Slow motion and slow motion fights.
Yeah, that really stylized look. I wonder if they'll get him involved or if they're going to go with something fresh. But I mean, if Robert Downey Jr.'s involved, he's got to play Sherlock Holmes again, right? He's not too old for it.
He's not, but he's clearly just enjoying being a producer at the moment.
And being very,
very cool
rich.
Stuff. Very, very rich. He dabbles with a lot of robotics companies.
In like film and movie robotics or just robotics itself?
No, like prosthetics.
Oh.
He is a huge champion of the cause, being Iron Man. How can you assist in actually making functional prosthetics and this sort of stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, maybe I don't even know who, I mean, it was Jude Law, wasn't it, who was Watson?
Yes.
In his version? Yeah.
Yeah. He'd be available. If the gang's getting back together,
you get
back
Jude
up
Law.
The money truck.
Yeah, you get Jude Law. I mean, that guy is constantly in stuff. Like, if you have a look at his IMDb, he's constantly doing things. But I think he would make time for this. He could make it a limited series. Like,
If Downey's got time for it, Jude Law can have time for it.
If Downey's down for it.
Oh, well done. There you go.
Make it a law.
I can't think of a segue, so I'm not going to. There's so many spin-offs for Walking Dead coming. It's hard to keep track of which one's which. You've got the Negan and Maggie show going to New York. You've got whatever's happening with Carol and Daryl.
Just a Carol and Daryl road trip, yeah.
We've heard bits and pieces about this Tales from the Walking Dead 6-episode mega series or something. They're saying that these episodes, they're all standalone stories within that, but they're going to be very big budget. One of them, they've said Samantha Morton is coming back as Alpha. Now, Alpha's real dead.
So
Real dead, head in a bag dead.
But this is the kind of show, it sounds like this is the kind of series that will be jumping around throughout the apocalypse. So we'll be having a look at the beginning of it. We'll be having a look at, you know, a couple of years in. We did get flashbacks of her.
It could be a very good show to finally show grown-up Carl. I mean, I know Carl died, but grown-up Carl is what that last issue is all about of, you know, what happens in 20 years? What's the world like then? Maybe they could do that, do a bit of a jump forward. Some episodes that are clearly going to be funny. Terry Crews is starring in one of the episodes.
I missed that, really.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of comedians involved.
How fun.
So there's got to be a lot of panicked, dying best friends.
Okay. I'm getting a better understanding of what this potentially could be now. Could almost be like Love, Death and Robots in that. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. This is an anthology.
Perfect.
It's not
this
a six-episode
so
story. It's six stories set within...
I just assume they were all still going to have that Walking Dead feel and look to them, but this could be very different. They could be playing with things.
Yeah. So we haven't seen the list of directors yet, but I have a feeling that there's going to be a few rogue choices in there.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Okay. This has got me more excited. I think we can probably say now that the fact that we've not heard anything else about the films, that we should just forget about them. And if they show up, great, but is a high chance they're not coming.
Look, we've got like 9 episodes to find out whether or not Rick and Michonne show back up.
Yeah. Did you see the photograph of the full cast and crew on the last day of shooting? Like they did a big sort of aerial shot. Maybe they did it with a drone or something and everyone was smiling and waving. And there was one person in the background, looked like they were walking past, and they had a massive bear head on, you know, kind of like those mascot heads. And I thought, if that is Andrew Lincoln, that... It's the best troll I've ever seen. That would be amazing. Good. But, you know, could have just easily been a cast crew or cast member being hilarious. But, yeah, it was it's funny watching Instagram and stuff at the moment as all the actors start to post their very last photograph on set.
Yep.
I saw one of Jeffrey Dean Morgan sitting. It looked like he was sitting down at a bench or something, and he had his Whisperer's mask in his hand, and they clearly were not going to shoot his feet because he was wearing Crocs. And it just so something about it that just I found that so amusing, the fact that Negan could wear Crocs. It just doesn't seem good. Like his kind
it's
of
good,
footwear.
It's good for the rocking.
Yeah, that's right. Oh dear. So basically this is a reminder. I'm just doing a reminder right now of the fact that Handmaid's Tale is a show that is still coming out and it's still getting made.
When was the last time we saw that? Because there was a few years where that's
it didn't
all you wanted to talk about.
All I wanted
on
to talk
air
about.
Or off.
And then I think they had a year off, might have been because of the pandemic, and then they came back again and I was in like the pandemic headspace and I was like, I don't know if I want to really, I watched it, but it was, you know what I mean? Same with Fear the Walking Dead. I didn't actually finish that last season because I was not in the right headspace. I've actually been slowly watching episodes now and I'm enjoying it way more than I did back then when I was like, I can't do this. I can't do it. But anyway, Handmaids is definitely coming back. They've been doing some new casting of new reoccurring characters. I don't know who the characters are. There's one who is a Gilead refugee who is the leader of the resistance movement in Canada, which is kind of where that last season was heading towards. But I just wonder if like other people, like me, if other people now will be like, oh, yeah, I think I can jump back into that. I think I'll be all right watching that. Sometime later this year, they're saying it will be out.
Sure.
So see how we go.
I get what you're saying about fear. I struggled with getting through it. But I imagine that if I kind of watched it banked up, maybe it'd be better. I've heard a few people say that about those tougher seasons of Walking Dead that we didn't enjoy. Mm. That they're catching up for the final season now. And that those seasons aren't nearly as God soul crushingly awful as they were to us when you can, you know, blaze through 4 in a night.
And probably be doing something like, I don't know, playing Wordle on your phone or doing a jigsaw puzzle whilst watching it. Kind of that, leaving it as
putting
background TV.
Soaking your feet in some antiseptic ointment. I don't know what people do.
I don't know either. Maybe that's what Negan was doing with his Crocs.
What's not antiseptic? Aromatic. That's the word.
Oh.
They are very different.
So it's a very specific thing.
You know what? I'm thinking one of them little foot baths.
Yeah.
I see them at the shopping centre. They look fancy.
They do look fancy. Just
height of luxury.
Just feel like there's a lot of set up and then pack down.
Oh, I can't. I've got a baby. I can't. You know, a toddler, I can't possibly fathom having.
She'd put
water
a head in it or something.
With,
yeah.
There's water on the floor with batteries and electricity. She'd find a way to bite something. Hey, Morbius came out and the critics hate it. Some audiences seem to love it, but maybe there's some trolling going on and all this sort of stuff in there. I don't know. It seems to have done all right compared to what the critical assessment was going to be for it. You know, it's I think it hit 88 million or something like that.
It's not bad.
Which is not bad. Mm. You know, it's got the end of pandemic asterisks, not really end, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. It's Marvel adjacent. It's a Sony picture. Apparently, a lot of it is confusing as fuck in terms of how does this tie to the Spider-Man movies and why is Michael Keaton here?
Oh, okay.
Yes, apparently it confuses itself a bit. They didn't quite learn all the right lessons from how Spider-Man No Way Home handled the multiverse and what Marvel are doing with that. It's caused some canonical confusion.
Oh, that's a real shame because...
Yeah.
I didn't know much about it and the chances of me watching it are very slim, but I kind of felt like it, just judging by the trailer and the talk that I've heard about it, it almost felt like it was like a Venom, but a more serious Venom, but that doesn't sound like what it is.
Yeah, the vibe I've heard is like it's that early 2000s. Superhero movie Daredevil or Elektra, which took itself way too seriously. Yeah. Venom in the film is taken seriously, but the character is not. Where, oh God, I hate Jared Leto.
Yeah, I wonder if that is a big aspect to this having the mixed reviews because people find him jarring.
Oh, he's tiresome. So his character, right? It's got bone disease or some blood disease, all sorts of stuff going on. And he's got to get around on crutches. Well, because he's method, he refused to take the crutches off in between takes. And when he'd need a bathroom break, it slowed things down to the point that he ended up like making a deal with a stage manager or something that he'd be allowed to be transported in a wheelchair to the bathroom and given assistance. Yep. The pained face you have. Yep.
I would hate to be working with someone like that. Just even if I was not that stagehand, like even if I was just somebody who was working there, I would be so annoyed that every day I would get more and more annoyed just the fact that he existed.
The thing is, right, Daniel Day-Lewis pulls that crap.
Yeah.
Everyone gives him shit for it.
Yeah.
But he does like one film every two or three years, lives that and delivers an amazing performance. I can't stand him as a person, but he delivers the goods and he chooses projects that are worthy of that much investment.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto does that pretending to be the Joker for a bad Suicide Squad and Michael fucking Mobius, the living vampire. What the fuck?
He kind of is a bit vampire-y at this point in time. Like, he doesn't look his age.
And, he doesn't look well.
And, you know, that kind of thing usually you would say, wow, isn't that amazing? He doesn't look his age, but it's kind of creepy, I think. I think he looks creepy.
There was a wonderful article on, I think it was on Batuta the other day, of the phrase, I'm a Jared Leto fan, now exclusively refers to people who enjoy 30 Seconds to Mars, his band.
That can't be a massive amount of people these days, right? I forget
they do
that
really,
exists.
They do really well.
Really?
They do big stadium tours in the US all the time.
Oh, good on them.
And he allegedly is a bit of a creep.
Yeah, right.
Allegedly,
I'm a bit confused about this story, but I thought it was worth putting in there. The 2nd of April, Twitter decided to tweet, which is, that makes sense, right, that they were going to start testing a edit feature. Now, unlike every other platform in the history of platforms, Twitter has never had an edit feature. If you have made a mistake in a tweet,
That's
you
it.
Either leave it there or you delete it and you start again.
Yeah.
And surely, like, that's a thing that would be very easy for them to fix or to introduce. So it has always to me sounded intentional that they're like, nope, Twitter is a very fast moving thing. We're going to keep it going. Move, 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 move. If you don't want it, you get rid of it. There's no editing involved.
Yeah.
So I wonder why they're thinking of doing this. But I'm also not sure that it's a real thing because the 2nd of April, so close to the 1st of April, I don't know.
Honestly, it might come down to having to adhere to governmental codes that are coming into place around the world and stuff. We've been doing a lot of stuff in Australia. The government wants to hold Google very accountable for any reviews that are put up there and be able to get the data from Google about who is writing these things, not putting out there anonymously. On the same track, that news corporations and publishers are now seen as responsible for comments that are posted and things like that. So I think it might be in terms of all the other platforms. If you're a news article and you put something out and it's wrong, you can go and change it and then put out a retraction or put out, we have edited this for accuracy. The fact that you can't do that on Twitter would mean that it's suddenly not a viable platform for a lot of these places that would be held accountable. Same with defamation and that sort of stuff.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
So you've got to be able to go back and, legally, if you're being sued for defamation, you can't just go and delete the tweets. There's got to be an agreement that you will delete the tweets. Do you know what I mean? It's this sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, an edit feature. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But it is a shame because Twitter has been, very good at that of, reminding everyone that the internet, anything you put up there is in pen.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm the kind of person that I can sit there and look at a tweet or, look at a post on anywhere that I'm about to put up and I'll look through it three times and be like, no, it looks perfect. No, it's fine. And then I hit send or I hit post or whatever, and then I look at it again. I was like, how did I make that big mistake? And have you got anything else?
I got two more things. One's real quick and I didn't even write it down, but I saw it last night and I'm like, oh, we should talk about that. So Dyson, the people that make vacuums and that, right? And they're an air purifier, is the king of clean air. If I was to say to you, What kind of wearable do you think Dyson would come up with? Let's see what you suggest. And this is not an April 1st thing. This is new tech that they've been working on for 6 years.
A glove that allows you to vacuum. I don't know. I've got no idea. I have no idea.
Dyson are bringing out a large pair of chunky overhead headphones.
Right.
Big cans with 19 different microphones in there for the noise cancellation and things like that. Perfect air quality. And then on the front of it is a detachable, wearable air purifier.
Oh, so it's like a Dyson face mask?
Yes. You can't wear the face mask without the headphones, but you can wear the headphones without the face cover. It makes you look like fucking Scorpion from Mortal Kombat. And I want 5 of them immediately. And it's not something they've developed in response to COVID. They've been working on this for 6 years. They showed off some prototypes. Their first prototype needed a huge backpack to run an air purifier. And they discovered that in order to get this to work, they needed the room of the headphones.
Oh, right.
So the headphones uses the whole shell
right.
to help power the air purifier that goes over your mouth and nose.
I think I need to look this up a little more to see.
I can't even remember what it's called.
You know, it's the kind of thing that I see and I go, what is the point of that? No one will ever need it or want it. It sounds stupid. And then rest assured, 5 years later, I've got one.
The second I saw it, I was like, I want that for fashion. That is my jam. And then I read a bit more about it. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome for people that have concerns going out. It's going to be a fantastic thing for anyone with asthma.
Hay fever?
Yeah. it's going to be very, very good for people with sensory overload issues.
Yes, I thought not that being with the that, ears, but yeah.
Purity, yeah, yeah. Yep. This is it's a big medical thing as well as cool.
I'm going to have a look at it and see what it looks like. Surely they're going to do it in lots of colours if it's a fashion thing as well.
I imagine that Dr. Dre is looking at that and being like, how can I make a Beats version pair up with you?
I need some money. I've got one last thing that I don't know if you saw it, but Netflix is a joke, is a festival, a comedy festival, and they're going to have like a whole heap of shows in LA, and they're going to record some or all of them, and then they're going to put them on Netflix. And I saw it, and I'm like, these people are people that you would want to watch.
Give me
like
some names.
John Mulaney to start off with. Billy Eichner, I mean, he's pretty great. Then we get some others in there, like Amy Schumer. Dave Letterman is going to be in it as well. There's
he does his Netflix show.
A whole heap. Like the list is very extensive. Margaret Cho, Wanda Sykes, like even Snoop Dogg is doing something for it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a great, I just love the idea of mixing this thing where you can go and see something live, but if you don't get to see it because it's in LA or whatever, we're not going to miss out. The rest of the world is going to be able to watch it on Netflix as well. And I think we all need it. We need some jokes. We need some laughs.
This is the new version of Woodstock 99.
No, don't get Limp Bizkit.
Not how the okay, go yeah, bad, yeah. But, you know, watching that streamed around everywhere. It wasn't streamed. You had to get up at a certain time to watch it on Channel V.
Pay-per-view, if I recall correctly. I remember watching it. Over the course of 11 days. No, I just love this idea, and I'm really looking forward to watching the specials that come out of it.
Do you know when it's happening?
Not quite sure when it's coming out.
Okay, I only asked because without seeing the full lineup of people, I imagine there might be a couple of special guests. Hmm. I could see them trying to sneak a Bo Burnham in there. I don't think Auntie Donna will get the nod, but maybe. It just depends when it is because they might be doing, because they've got a lot of tour around Australia.
Nicole Byer, her name's not in there, but she has a special on Netflix. I mean, she is nailed it, so.
Yeah. Fortune Femster's got to be in there.
Oh, yeah.
And they would have gotten away with it too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've got a fuck ton of Guardians of the Galaxy news.
Okay. Is this for the third movie or is this just in
it's
general?
Bits and pieces around. There's a strap in.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one James Gunn tweeted last night. He just heard from their makeup folks that yesterday Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 officially passed the world record for the most makeup appliances created for a single production, which was previously held by The Grinch.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Every person, even extras in The Grinch, needed to have
that.
They're
all Whoville.
Yeah, they all needed those noses.
So that sounds pretty promising. Good for practical effects.
Yeah.
They are rapidly approaching the end of filming. Very excited for that. But it's also been going on news because the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which is the roller coaster at Epcot over in Orlando, that has been given the opening date of May 27th. So not long to go.
That's
at all.
Really soon, just over a month.
And they put out a trailer.
And what do you reckon? What do you reckon?
Oh, looks good fun. Whoever's doing the voice of Rocket is not the same as the film, and Star-Lord has a mask down and this sort of stuff. So on the ride, maybe. There's a funny one with at the Tower of Terror, which is now called Mission Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. That's mm-hmm. at Disneyland in California. On the ride, it's the actors from the film, but at the beginning of the ride, there's an animatronic rocket that interacts with you and stuff. And some of his lines are Bradley Cooper, but some of them are a voice actor who's very, very close. And I'm pretty sure that that's the person in the trailer.
Okay. I wonder if it's the same voice as the game. I haven't played the game, but from what I've heard, the voice is good.
The voice in the game is real good, but it's even more gruff.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas this is someone doing a spot-on Bradley Cooper impression. And it looks mad fun. It's it looks like someone's coming to attack Epcot, and the call gets put out, and the Guardians come to help save the day. It's supposed to be a whole new, like a different spin on a roller coaster for what Disney does, and it's meant to be a mix of a roller coaster and Haunted Mansion, which is where all the cars are on the track and they turn at certain points to focus on the scene properly. So it's going to be a roller coaster doing that stuff, but slowing down to help you interact with scenes and
I'm going to have to watch a trailer to get an idea of this, because that sounds next world, like super high tech.
Up.
Yeah, it sounds super high tech. Is this part of... This is not is this Disney?
So, yes, this is Disney. So I know, I confused things, sorry. So Disney World in Orlando has Disney World Magic Kingdom, and that's the same as Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Wild Animal Park. They have Disney Hollywood Studios, which is where all the Star Wars stuff is, and that's more movie-based.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have Epcot, which is the Experimental Pavilion City of Tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And it's traditionally not been story and narrative based stuff, but mm-hmm. that's kind of shifted over the last few years. They have this giant harbor that you can walk around and eat great food and visit all these pavilions from different worlds, different places around the world and stuff like that. It's very cool.
Yeah.
But there's one section, you know, there's one section about living with the land, and that's got a giant aquarium and this sort of stuff. And then there's one section that's all about looking to the future. And it's traditionally been for Kodak to show off their latest technology, this sort of stuff. And one pavilion there was, I think it was called Ellen DeGeneres' Adventures Through Energy or something like that. Okay.
What?
Have I not told you about this?
What the hell is that?
Okay. Oh, my God. How have I not told you? It's a ride. It's hardly a ride. It's a moving theater. So you sit in things and it takes you very slowly around a track, and it teaches you. It was made in like the, I think, early 90s. It started in the early, late 80s, but they did this new video for it in the 90s. And it's Ellen DeGeneres, Bill Nye, Sigourney Weaver.
She's cool.
No, not Sigourney. Jamie Lee Curtis, sorry. Not,
oh, I like her too.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
All these people that you're like, oh my God, this is a time capsule of a weird thing. And they're all shelling oil and like talking about how great petrol is. And this
what
sort of
the hell?
It was so full on. And it was there till like 2017. I went and watched it because there was a really cool, I went on, it takes like 40 minutes. There's a point where there's some very cool dinosaurs and stuff like that. And it's a legacy thing, but they ripped all of that out for this roller coaster.
That's the most bizarre thing I've heard in a while. And now I'm sad that I missed it.
You're homesick today. Write this down. Ellen DeGeneres Disney ride.
I'm writing it down.
Look it up on YouTube. Fall into the trap that is that thing and have it blow your mind. Why is Bill Nye on board with this?
Ellen, Bill Nye, Disney.
Epcot.
Epcot. All right, that's
all right.
Yeah, that's sitting there.
I hope that's explained where it is. But we're not done with Guardians of the Galaxy, because that's what our fun fact is today.
Yes,
it's a good fun movie, and I've got a three prong fun fact for you here. Right, one of funny, one that's and one that's
okay. Okay, what are all the coaster of emotions? Yes.
All right. James Gunn stated that Chris Pratt's audition was so good, he was prepared to offer him the role even if Pratt did not lose weight or get in shape. You got to remember, at the time, he was Andy on Parks and Recs, big, fat, lovable, out of shape. Gunn stated that joked that he was willing to CGI a six pack onto Pratt's body, but Pratt asked Gunn to give him 6 months to lose 50 pounds. He ended up losing 60. Good on you, mate.
Yeah, that's good.
That's cool. According to Vin Diesel, his performances grouped helped him through a really dark time in his life. He was dealing with the loss of Paul Walker, just after all of that had happened. And he said it was the first time he came back to dealing with human beings after dealing with death. So playing a character who celebrates life in the way Groot does was very nice.
Yeah,
good
cool.
on you. And he recorded the lines for every different language translation for the film going out everywhere. Because all he says is, "I am Groot." He learned how to say it in like 22 different languages or something like that.
That has to be some kind of world record in that most films are dubbed by,
yes,
quite often famous actors from that language, or, you know, that language group or that country or whatever. But to have the one actor do every different version, that has to be a record, surely.
Well, and it's hilarious because the lines of what Groot intends are written out for him. So he has the context for what each "I am Groot" actually means. So to then have that in his mind and be giving that inflection in a different language that he doesn't speak.
Very clever.
That's pretty cool. And then finally, Bradley Cooper told Howard Stern that he was paid more for voicing Rocket in the first movie than he was for starring in Silver Linings Playbook and The Hangover combined.
Wow. That's
he's never
Marvel
been on
money.
Set. He's never been on set.
Never at all.
No, he and Vin Diesel have never been on set.
I mean, I know they're massive actors, so the lure of popping in and watching a scene being filmed one day is probably not that strong for them. But
it's also because on set, Sean Gunn, like James Gunn's brother, he is Rocket.
Yeah,
and there's I can't remember the name of the performance. The motion capture artist, but there's a group, and having the voice actors there he's like, nah, that would mess things.
Yeah, okay.
That complicates it. So they keep that world very separate. Still, that's crazy. Yeah, that Marvel golden handshake.
I know some people weren't massive fans of the second film, but I quite liked it. I quite enjoyed it. I thought they were both fun.
I really enjoy it. Really enjoy it. And I have enjoyed it more when I've gone back to watch it again. Because, yeah, that first one set expectations super high. And when you've seen Infinity War and Endgame, it kind of really does colour that second film differently if you understand where stories are going.
Yeah, right.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
I like those fun facts. All of the fun facts and the Guardian news was wonderful. Thank you very much.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Do you want to talk about some stuff that we watched?
We probably should. We've been going on for quite a bit.
So there was a lot going on. There was a lot going on. A lot of watching news, like future watching suggestions, I guess you could call them, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I'm going to call them, at least.
What a bit of waffle while we pad.
We just waffled. Now
Coming up on the hour.
Coming up next, we'll have a look at the traffic and also we'll have a song from a colourful singer, which is always pink. It's always pink when anybody ever says that.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah, it's a very easy one. And chances are there's going to be a pink song on most radio stations of an FM variety. So
every station wants an upset mum list.
Yeah, that's right. They're the ones. Exactly.
This audience is short-haired Karens.
Yep, absolutely.
Like you, Dale, and your... I can't believe you took my half the house.
So angry with you, Dale. I watched The Bubble.
I don't know why I picked Dale. Sorry. Anyway, okay, we're jumping back in.
Yeah, I'm just jumping.
Were we vibing and riffing then? Was that part of the show? Or just...
I think we'll keep that as part of the show. Do you know why? Because we're not feeling well and we probably will forget to edit it out, right?
Ah, who cares?
Exactly. I'm just having a little scroll through our text messages because there was a really good thing that you wrote and I wanted to talk about it, within the bubble, but I might actually have to ask you just to say it live, because I said to you, I watched The Bubble, which is on Netflix, which is about a film being made in a bubble because of the pandemic, because of COVID.
Yeah,
and you said, here it is. I was going to watch it, but then Leslie Mann was in the trailer and I noped out hard.
Yep. It was the same thing when I saw that the fake trailer a few weeks ago for Skycliff Beast 6 or whatever the film within the film is.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this looks like trashy fun.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a real shame. Now, I did watch it, but side note, for some of the film, I was actually not facing the television because I was also playing the card game Jaipur, which is really good fun to play, very easy. And I think it paired well with this kind of film where you could just sort of turn around, laugh at something, and then have your move.
What a glowing review. Film best enjoyed facing the other direction whilst holding cards.
I did enjoy seeing David Duchovny and a whole heap of the rest of the cast in there having to continuously do these TikTok-like dances for one of the actress's TikTok accounts because she had a big TikTok or a big social media following, right? So constantly having to do behind the scenes of this film that they were it's going to be very confusing to talk about it because so the film is about the making of a film.
Yes.
That's what it's about. And it's about the trials and tribulations. It's a comedy, the trials and tribulations of filming something where there's COVID and a pandemic and people constantly have to be tested for COVID and it keeps getting locked down. And that means that all the actors have to go back into their rooms for 2 weeks and they don't want to do that because the first 2 weeks drove them all crazy. I did say to you though, maybe it would be worth watching it for you because Leslie Mann gets this surprise, very surprising injury in it where you're like, wait, was that real? And I don't think I saw her after her injury. I don't want to give too much away in case people have yet to watch it, but it's just a silly, silly film. And I was worried about these kind of films coming out, you know, these sort of, let's just take a look at what it was like during the pandemic. You know, the ones where you're like, I don't want to watch it because I was there. Yeah. I guess in this respect, it's more about how film and TV reacted to it, which, you know, like we talk about it every week, but we're not part of it. And it just looks really annoying. And I know, you know, most sets and productions are still doing this, you know, even now. And it just, the stop start of everything and all the plastic face shields that are, you know, painful, bloody painful. But it's on Netflix. And if you want to play a card game, put it on in the background.
Man, put that on the poster.
I really think sometimes we have the best critiques of films.
It's a good blurb. It's a good blurb. Hey, I went out to the cinema on Saturday. Shay took me out and she'd gotten tickets for us for my birthday to go and see Sonic 2.
Oh, nice.
And we really enjoyed the first one. She and I, we went on a date to see the first one. And so it was exciting for her to take us out and everything. And this one was even better than the first one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Everyone's really leaning into their stuff more. Like Jim Carrey is full on the mask level insanity.
Perfect.
Having a ball.
I can't actually think of anybody who I would rather be Dr. Robotnik.
He's so perfect. Yeah. He's acting up here and everyone else is just trying to keep a straight face and stay on board. Ben Schwartz, who voices Sonic, has toned Sonic down slightly from the first one. The first one, he was a super hyperactive John Rolfio from Parks and Recreation.
Yep.
To the point where there were points where he was pretty grating, and that was the point. This is a hyperactive alien. How do you deal with that? Whereas this one, he's learning a bit about maturity and this sort of stuff. And you know, he's hitting his teenage years, so it's about slowing down a bit more. James Marsden isn't in it as much as the first one, but the stuff he gets to do this time is more interesting for him.
Okay.
There's like a tangential, here's the adult storyline. The adults go to Hawaii for the sister's marriage.
Right, okay.
You know, and I hope nothing happens at that wedding. And Sonic, you're home looking after the house by yourself for the weekend. Don't do anything with those teleporting rings.
And Idris Elba?
Idris is great. So he's you know, playing it very straight the whole time. Knuckles loved it. You know, he's a surly echidna. Very much like Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy. Everything's literal.
Yeah, right.
And that's why, you know, Robotnik fools him very quickly into thinking that they are a team. And so, Knuckles has worked with him. And then Tails comes in, and Tails, I've forgotten her name, but is voiced by the woman who voiced Tails back in the games.
Cool. I like it when they do that kind of thing. You know, there was talk about that with the upcoming Mario film. You know, like what about I've forgotten his name as well, but what about the voice actor that is Mario? They did say he is in it. I mean, what he's going to do, I don't know, but
Grandpa Mario.
I am a grandpa. So would you say that you have to watch the first film in order to enjoy this one?
Oh,
yeah, I didn't think so.
It's about a blue alien hedgehog who runs fast.
Colleen O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah, that's why I didn't have a punch.
Yep.
Yeah, look, great fun. We ate a big bucket of popcorn and had an ice cream, had a laugh. It's a touch long.
Okay. Yeah.
And not in a bad way, but just, you know, because it is very high intensity.
You got worn out.
Well, and the moments where it slows down to catch up with what the adults are up to and stuff, you're like, oh, a bit of whiplash.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, yeah, real good fun if you've got kids. If you don't have kids and you don't need to see it at the cinemas, worth a look when it comes out at home for a bit of a laugh.
Has Shay ever played the games?
I don't think so. Maybe watched me play some, but not really, no.
Yeah, okay. Right. Sonic 2, very exciting. At the movies as well. Gosh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One film that I watched this week that I have had my eye on for quite some time, not necessarily because of the film, but because of who was in the film. I watched it came out this year. It was one of the COVID delayed films. So I think it was finished in 2019, was going to come out in 2020, then kept getting pushed back. It was Death on the Nile.
Oh,
the classic
yeah.
Agatha Christie story. And the reason I watched it was because Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French are in it. More than I thought they would be, actually. I was pretty impressed with the fact that I got to see them quite a lot. And pretty big cast, actually. I had no idea that I didn't know Russell Brand was in it.
Oh.
And I don't think he actually speaks for the first half of the film. He's just there. A lot of fun. I think everybody, whether you've ever read or watched any Agatha Christie stuff, you know the structure,
mm-hmm.
and the setup of how an Agatha Christie goes, right? Like there's a murder, everybody is stuck in a room or a boat or train or whatever, and there's one person. It's this one was Perrault. I can't do French accents. It wasn't Miss Marple. It was the other one. It was the bloke, right? The Belgian guy, played by Kenneth Branagh, who also directed it, of course, because he directs everything he stars in, right? That's how he gets to star in films, I think.
He didn't direct bloody Harry Potter.
Yeah, true. No, yeah, okay. You've got me there. But you know that they're all going to be locked down And yeah. the inspector or whoever it is going to go through and say, it wasn't you because this, 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 and this. It wasn't you because this, this, and this. It was you! That kind of thing. So it was good fun. Gal Gadot is in it and a couple of other names that I'm not sure I even want to bring up.
Tell me, how much is Army Hammer?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was not sure. He's in it. Probably more than they wanted him to be in it, simply because yes. he's one of the main characters. And it would have been very difficult to take him out.
Well, from what I understand, they had to re-edit some of the storylines here and there to chop him out where possible.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Because at one point he was like the main character. Awkward.
So awkward. Now that we're talking about it, maybe that's why you do see more of French and Saunders. Maybe that is why you see a bit more of Annette Bening and her on-screen son. Maybe that's why those stories are potentially bigger than they were originally going to be, those side storylines. But
don't want to focus on the cannibal.
Yeah. Oh, also, what's her name? Leslie Rose, I think is her name. Ygritte from Game of Thrones is in it as well. So it was good to see her.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Good to see you.
Always good to see you.
Always good to see you. Death on the Nile. I've never read an Agatha Christie. Do you know what? I reckon Agatha Christie, if she was alive today, she would either have or be a massive fan of true crime podcasts.
Oh, for sure.
That's what she would do. Maybe not write novels, just do the podcast.
So for many years, I had somehow confused the names Agatha Christie and Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
And I thought...
It's similar, right? I thought
that Murder, She Wrote was like the third in the mix with Miss Marple and Poirot.
Amazing. No, you know what? That's not out of the realms of possibility. I get that. I get that confusion. Mm. That makes sense. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I was young.
You were young.
Hey, do you mind? Can I rapid fire a few at you?
Do it.
Because there's been a few that just don't warrant a full deep dive.
Do it.
But we've both been sick and I've seen. So Netflix has a thing called Trivia Question. I don't know if you've seen this.
I haven't seen this.
You've got to answer a few trivia questions and then you get a little bit of an episode, and then there's a new episode every day.
Cool. It's like Wordle, but for your Netflix.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I'll watch that.
Sign you up.
Yeah.
Lynn's, I don't play Wordle or any of that stuff. The other day, Lynn's was like, you should do this today's Hurdle. I didn't know about Hurdle.
I don't know
what
Hurdle is.
You get 5 seconds of a song, the intro of a song or something like that, and you've got to work out what it is. And it was Hall & Oates, you make my dreams come true, which you know is my jam.
Ah.
And I got it in less than a second.
I reckon I would have been so good at that back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to see how I go.
So, yeah, Hurdle is the Hurdle app thing.
Okay.
But trivia question on Netflix. I think you'd quite enjoy that.
Mm.
Impractical Jokers.
Oh, yeah. How's it going?
Came back with a oversized special the other night. And at first it felt a bit funny with Joe gone, but by halfway through the episode, you're like, no, this works. And now they have a special guest who comes and helps them do the punishment.
Is that every episode? It's a different person?
Yes, cool. It looks like. And this first one was Eric Andre.
Oh, this is your thing.
It was my thing and he came to play and the person who lost had a really awful time. It was great to see the guys back. It definitely fit, like it can and will continue to work. I was concerned that this would be a, you know, let's just run out this last season we're signed for and see, but it actually feels revamped.
Cool. That's good.
New intro, new graphics, all this sort of stuff. It's funny because Joe used to do a lot of the voiceover of the intro and stuff, so that's all gone and things. So it feels different, but the guys are clearly excited to be doing the new style. So
That's good. Yeah. At least it doesn't feel like an end.
That's right. That's right. So they're not back again till June or something now. It was just like his one episode to wet your whistle and let you know we're not dead.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to talk more in depth about this in a couple of weeks when I've watched more, but I'm almost at the end of season two of Letterkenny. I don't know if you've ever caught that. It's a Canadian sitcom. It kind of feels like Redneck Parks and Recreation, but they're not making fun of rednecks. Everyone in the town that's a redneck is really intellectual and sits around and has really deep conversations. It's so funny.
Does it feel almost like, do you remember that show, maybe from the late, like 2008 kind of time, called Corner Gas, or it was about a service station.
I remember you telling me about this one before, yes.
Might have a similar feel, maybe? Or is it a bit, because that was quite quiet, like it was a slow.
This is not slow necessarily. It starts out, each episode is a title card that comes up with, there are 5,000 residents of Letterkenny. These are their problems. And it's, you know, we're the main four characters we're following run a farm and they have a produce stand and they sit out the front and just talk shit all day long.
Yep.
And the main guy who wrote the show, the main thing, he's the toughest man in Letterkenny. And there's just recurring storylines of junkies, meth heads showing up wanting to fight him and prove that they're the toughest and he's just always ready. This guy would be perfect to play Wolverine.
Yeah, right, okay.
But yeah, it's they've almost got that same accent as Fargo.
Yes.
Everything's very serious.
Yes.
It's sing song. But they're having these real, you know, there's a couple of characters that are from, they're meant to be from like California or something, and they're there on a hockey scholarship studying at the hockey camp.
Of course.
There's the town meth heads who also are constantly trying to run raves. And I don't know, I'd watched a couple of episodes before out of sequence and enjoyed them. But someone's told me if you actually watch them in sequence, the world building that goes on with this show happens really quick. And it really does. Like you see a few bad things happen to one of the meth heads. And then he suddenly decides that he's going to turn it into the biggest meth town in Canada. And then everything starts going worse for everyone in the show. And you know, like, it's really good.
Where do I find this? Because I want to watch this.
I'm watching it on iTunes.
Okay.
I'm sure it's on Stan or something like that.
What's it called again?
11 Letterkenny.
Okay.
I think there's 11 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But each season is only 6 episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
So they put out a couple of seasons a year.
So one of the Google options was Letterkenny SBS, so it might be for free. You might be able to watch it for free.
Go.
Yeah, you can watch it for free. Cool.
There you go. As I say, it's been going for a couple of years now, and it's won so many awards, and rightly so. It's really, really clever, despite it looking silly.
I don't know what the Canadian equivalent for the Logies is, so I'm just going to call it the Junos, even though I know that that's for music. It's won so many Junos.
Swooped lots of awards.
My last thing that I will mention, because I'm kind of just halfway through. Oh, no, I can rapid fire end of Snowpiercer.
Yes.
Season 3.
Is Sean Bean and Dunn?
Sean Bean's always the bad guy. I love it. But I think I think he's going to live to see another day.
All right.
But all I'll say about it is if you remember the end of the film.
Yeah.
That kind of happened at the end of this season.
That's what I heard.
Which is cool, right?
Yeah.
you need progression.
That needed to happen for the show to stay on the wheels.
Absolutely. So that was cool. I enjoyed that season. Looking forward to next year. But what I want to talk about is I saw a post on SBS again. SBS On Demand had Weekend at Bernie's. And I was like, that's been years since I've seen it. How does it hold up? I really enjoyed it. I don't know. I have not been feeling well, so maybe I was watching it with some sort of weird sick cloud, but it was really stupid fun.
You should text Linz after the show and let her know, because that's one of her favorite movies.
Oh, she has to watch it again then. Yeah. What about the sequel?
I don't hear much chatter of the sequel.
I just remember it existed. I don't remember. I think it was the same thing, but more.
At a ski ranch.
Maybe. Put him on ice.
I don't remember.
It's one of those 1980s films that you kind of, well, for me, I was a bit trepidatious to watch again, because I remember watching it as a kid. You know, we'd have it probably taped off the TV, and it was probably one of our B or C list films that we watched on medium rotation. And to watch it again, I was like, oh, this is going to be dumb, but it was dumb, but in a good way. It was great to see, what's his name, Andrew McCarthy, is it?
Yes.
It was great to see him not play the straight good guy. He was like more the loose, crazy character. And for the time, when you think about other stuff that he'd been in, like 16 Candles or St. Elmo's Fire and... even Mannequin, to a certain extent, he was like the more serious of the characters in those films. But to have him be the quirky guy, where he's, for some reason, and I reckon this had to have been something that he decided to do, always has newspapers in his pocket. It's just hanging out, just like a whole newspaper just in his pocket. And it's, to me, looked very much like an actor's choice.
Actor's choice. Nice.
Anything else you want to touch on, or is that kind of it for this week?
Walking Dead we'll cover next week, because that's going to be the season 11B part 23 wrap up.
Two or three.
We'll cover that next week, and I think let's put a pin in Moon Knight and do a deeper dive next week.
Agreed. Yeah, once we get a couple of episodes in.
Because we've got a good twist, and I want to give people enough time to watch and
agreed.
You know?
Yep.
It's good fun. That's all I'll say. I've had a lot of texts, more texts from people about this show than any of the other Marvel shows. People go, that was a good first episode. I'm excited to see what's next.
Mm.
So yes, rather than dive into it today, and we've only got a very surface level of idea of what's going on.
Yep. Agreed.
Hold on.
Agreed. All right. Well, then that means that we can jump straight into the quiz. And the quiz's name this episode is Last Lines from What Movie? So I've looked up last lines from films, and I've given you either or option. First one is Ernest Hemingway once wrote, "The world is a fine place and worth fighting for." I agree with the second part. Is this the last line from Seven or 12 Monkeys?
Oh. I think it's 12 Monkeys.
It's Seven.
It's Seven.
I would not have remembered that at all. Like, there are some last lines you remember really well, but I don't remember that one at all.
Well, now you've got me getting, I've got a Morgan Freeman voice in my head, and you're definitely right. Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah. That's not that, actually. This one should be easy for you. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you. Is that Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or The Matrix?
The Matrix?
Yeah, The Matrix.
I had to really think then, because people can't see your actions, but you channeled Rufus.
Did I? I was trying to like say it really plainly.
No, you
but
like
the hand
did
gesture.
Rufus's,
yeah, right.
That's what he does when he gets out of the box.
You're right.
It's like, oh, I see. Oh.
That was a subconscious swerve for you. I apologize. Yeah, for that. Yeah. Let's go super old school.
Let's do it.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Wizard of Oz or Casablanca?
Casablanca.
Yeah, Casablanca. That's right. The Wizard of Oz, I think, is... It's something about... She says something to, what's her name, Auntie M or something. I can't remember. But it's not that. There's no friendship.
There's no friendship.
Rhodes, where we're going, we don't need Rhodes. Is this Back to the Future or Back to the Future 2?
Back to the Future Part 1, which is not Part 1, it's just Back to the Future. Because that's when Doc shows up with the DeLorean tires tucked in, ready
and
to
he's,
go.
And he's throwing rubbish into it from the rubbish bins. Yeah.
And into the second one, they definitely do need wheels and roads.
Yeah, they do. That's true. Yeah, they do. They
good
definitely
one,
do.
Mm. I had to think then.
This one, I'd get this one. I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Is it Driving Miss Daisy or Silence of the Lambs?
Ooh.
Classic line, absolute classic line.
Yes, Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, absolutely. Last one. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you might miss it. Is this Fast Times at Ridgemont High or Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Well, we know I know this one, but it feels like that could be the line of the end of any Fast and the Furious movie as well.
That's true.
Yes, that's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
A great quote from the Sausage King of Chicago.
Now, that one has both of the Cusacks, am I right? It's definitely got Joan. She's the one in the bus with the, like, the braces head thing.
Yes.
Is John Cusack, is it?
I don't know if
he's not
he
in
is.
It? Okay. He's not in Fast Times. Actually, I don't think Joan's in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They might be a bit too young for that one. The funny thing is I've actually mistyped it and it says Fast Times at Ridgemont Hugh.
Oh.
Personal.
Hugh Bonneville?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. That was good. That was a good episode, a good quiz. We've got a lot to talk about next week, including, like you said, Moon Knight and the wrap-up of whatever part of The Walking Dead we're up to. So, Tom, until next time, thank you very much.
Schnicked.